You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to episode 4 of season 2, everybody. If you've just joined us, I am Robin at a tired witch. I am obviously tired. Don't even know my own handle on Instagram. And I am with Maria at Maria the Arcane on Instagram. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Hello. If this is your first episode joining us, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and kind of what that means for us in terms of our practice. I did say last episode, so I will repeat it again. And I promise I won't incorporate this every episode, but I figured twice is good. This is a casual reminder that when we talk about upcoming lunar phases, it is how we can incorporate them into our practice and not like how that affects you and your star signs astrologically. So I don't want people to get conflated and think that, like, I'm an astrologist. I'm not. I can't do math. So,
same.
Right. I'm not a mathematician, everybody. Okay, I cheated on that all through high school. So I don't want to, I don't want you guys to give an illusion that I'm good at it. So coming up next, well, there's two things. Firstly, on the 21st of this month, Mercury goes back into direct, so everybody can exhale. Actually, this Mercury retrograde wasn't that bad for me, but I did a post about it on Tuesday, and the responses I was getting was people were having a very bad time. And so everybody can just exhale. It's only a few more days. It will be okay.
Honestly, like, the worst of Mercury retrograde always seems to hit me at the last bit. It's always the last few days, and it's awful. So I'm waiting for it. I'm prepared.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
All of it.
Coming up on the 27th of February is going to be the full moon in Virgo. And Virgo is a sign. Hello, good morning. but Virgo is kind of a ruler of our habits and how we interact with other people, how we organize our home and our life, etc. Think about your daily habits and kind of how you navigate them. These are going to be the kinds of things that we're going to be working with. So in terms of magic, we might want to be looking at not necessarily practicing magic, but maybe you want to start a new book of shadows and organize it, or organize your tarot cards. Just get things in order. And similarly, you can do magic that involves you kind of giving yourself goals and following through with them. I feel like I say that a lot with a lot of these readings, giving yourself goals, but that is really important.
Well, I think a lot of that is, like, especially at the beginning of the year, like, a lot of the signs absolutely are geared towards that. Yeah,
totally. And, like, the full moon in Virgo, excuse me, the full moon in Virgo also has you in a position where you might be examining, like, your physical self instead of your spiritual self. And that isn't to say, like, oh, go to the gym, lose weight, but instead to say, you know, maybe you want to pick up a little bit more healthier habits. And that could be a broad range of things depending on who you are as a person. And you might do spell work to help yourself kind of get that extra motivation, that extra push. So That's what I'd be looking at this time. Look at organization, look at goals, and look at realistic and practical steps you can make moving forward to put yourself in a better position.
Mm.
And that will all be made easier with Mercury retrograde being over.
Oh, thank God. Yes, please. Subscribe to that. So, if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a random tarot card. We go over the universal meanings and then our own interpretations of the cards. Hearing others' opinions helps beginners form their own opinions, or even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. This week, we're talking about the Seven of Cups. On this card, you'll see like a figure whose back is facing us and they're kind of shadowy. They are gazing up at the Seven of Cups, which are filled with like wonders floating around on cards. It's like very dreamy imagery. The universal keywords of this card are dreams, choices, opportunities, and illusion. When this card pops up in readings for myself or clients, it's when someone is like exploring new opportunities when it comes to their future happiness. Their opportunities or choices may even have already been presented to them, and they are eager to go all in without thinking things through first. Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, when it comes to this card and the choices presented, is that not all of these things are actually possible. We really need to think, plan, and strategize each possible possibility before we move forward with them, so we can address if we are just being hopeful or grabbing for something we want rather than what we need. The last thing you want to do is, you know, waste a tremendous amount of time on something that in the long run didn't end up giving you that happiness or fulfillment you were looking for. Mm-hmm. And alternatively, it can also show being scared when it comes to making choices or chasing opportunities due to like imposter syndrome or low self-belief. This is also where like planning ahead helps, you know, that these things might actually be possible. The last thing you want to do is when in this position is to let these opportunities pass you by because you are too worried about failing. That is when this card flips and those opportunities disappear. So how do you view this card, Robin dear?
Okay, I'm going to talk about a very real world, that was easy to say, situation that I see this card coming up in, and that's Tinder.
Okay.
And Tinder or any other social dating site, I get the Seven of Cups come up repeatedly when people are spending way too much time shopping for potential matches but wanting real love. Mm-hmm. And although things mm-hmm. like social dating sites are so useful, so incredible, especially if you are somebody who's not looking to have a serious relationship, or you are, but you're going about it in a very like calculated way, Tinder can mm-hmm. present this grand selection of choices, right? But yeah. Just because they're presented to you doesn't mean that there's any actual like future that's going to come of it. It creates this illusion mentality. And mm-hmm. it creates this environment where you think that because you had a couple of exchanges with somebody that it's going to go somewhere, and it actually isn't, because people aren't really in it as much as you are, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I see the Seven of Cups come up repeatedly in love readings when people are just using social dating sites either in the wrong way or like too mm-hmm. much. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. and so it is very much so, like you said, a lot of options, but because of it becomes overwhelming and there's this sense of illusion, and it's just nonstop, you know, call this my own UPG, but it comes up for social dating sites and it stresses me out. As somebody myself who's never used one, the idea of social dating mm-hmm. sites are a bit foreign to me. Like, not the idea, but the actual practice of them is a bit foreign to me. And mm-hmm. it becomes like this repeating pattern where I'm like, so you use Tinder a lot, huh? And they're just like, yeah, why? I'm like, well, maybe it's time to try a new approach. But for me, it comes up, I mean, obviously it comes up in other situations a lot too, but let's be honest, the nature of both of our jobs, mm-hmm. we do a lot of love readings. And mm-hmm. with love readings, every time I get the Seven of Cups, it's because of that. And it's just so interesting to me how, like, the meaning of that card interprets in a very real life, like, situation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I haven't had it pop up for anything like that, like for Tinder or anything, but
well,
that makes
also
a
my
lot
day job,
sense.
You as you know, is a I work at a hotline. So in my mm-hmm. day job, 95% of my readings are love readings, and so I see it a lot more
yeah.
than at Tired Witch.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's always coming up, and I'm just like, maybe we just like try to meet somebody the old-fashioned way for a little while.
Yeah, for a little while. Let's
just
try
I'm not saying you have to stop, just for a little while.
Yeah, agreed. So, this week we're going to discuss correspondences. And yeah, they are like incredibly important when it comes to spell work and with divination and it, like many parts of magic, really. And working with correspondences can be anything from like symbols, herbs, crystals, colors, the elements, and so forth. Yeah.
Yes. 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 The reason we wanted to talk about this is because there's a bunch of really great books out there. We've talked about them a bunch on correspondences. Mm-hmm. And an ongoing discussion that has been happening in our Discord is the reviews of said books and people giving some books negative reviews because they don't agree with the correspondences that are in the book. And they'll even go so far as to saying, that's wrong. And
yeah.
that's in part why we want to talk about this, because technically speaking, correspondence mm-hmm. is nothing but UPG. And if you don't know what UPG is, that is unverified personal gnosis. There have become all correspondence started as UPG, and a lot of it has become common gnosis. So it's like commonly accepted.
Yeah.
But it is still just gnosis. Mm-hmm. It is still, you know, theorized. Whatever. Mm-hmm. That's in part what we want to talk about this today.
Yeah. I think like a great way to explain this is, you know, as a group, when most of us think of like roses, we will think like love and passion. But mm-hmm. we also have to like consider the other parts of the rose, like thorns, which could represent protection or even pain. But mm-hmm. our personal interactions with roses can also shape our view of it, which is like incredibly important to note. Like, what if a funeral you attended that deeply affected you was decked out in roses, or a partner mm-hmm. gives you roses as a gift only to break up with you like a few moments later? These moments may affect the way they correspond to spell work for you. They may end up meaning like loss and heartbreak. So, you know, like doing love spell work with roses may not make sense for you, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's basically, you have these really popular witchcraft authors that pre-modern mm-hmm. witchcraft, and by modern witchcraft, I mean like the last 10 years. So not in the greater sense of the term, as in like the last 100 years, let's say. Very modern witchcraft, almost all of our books came from like 10 authors, essentially. And they were almost all mm-hmm. Wiccan-based. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But when you take something that is based off of a singular path and what's the word I'm looking for here? A singular path, a singular kind of thought process. You're going to see.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Correspondences that are going to, you know, repeat themselves and align because they are all working together. Mm-hmm. Wicca as a whole is coven-based, right? It's an order. It's a hierarchy. And so you are gaining information from your elders in said coven. And because of that, you get a lot of the same things being passed down over and over. And there's nothing wrong with that. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not trying to shade Wiccans at all right now. I'm just explaining how this works. And so you have books like Cunningham,
what form this up.
Cunningham, mm-hmm. Valiente, Gardner, Alexander, what's his name? Alex Sanders. sorry. I was thinking of Alexander, right? Wiccans, and then I conflated the two. Anyway, you have these groups of people that are, you know, their head faces in their particular path. And so they are the elders who are mm-hmm. passing on this information. And that doesn't mean their information is wrong, but it also doesn't make it the end all be all. You know, Scott Cunningham isn't speaking to the pagan god and getting this list of correspondence. His correspondence is coming from what Maria and I have talked about privately many times, the science of magic, trial and error, as well as his own personal experiences. And so all the commonly agreed upon gnosis all started as UPG mm-hmm. at some point.
Yeah. I mean, there's many things like I do like with Scott Cunningham's book, The Book of Correspondences, I do not agree with, but I don't mm-hmm. fault him for it and like write a bad review about it. I mean, there's a lot of his, you know, herbs that I did not resonate with, but as I said, that's just my personal feelings, and he had every right to. Yeah. And, you know, that's why we have to be open, as you said, you know, like realize that this is how he felt in the stuff mm-hmm. that he was taught.
And we can learn from that.
It's going to change for every. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And
we can use that as a basis. We should always be open.
Yeah. And just like with tarot, you're going to form your own opinions and you're going to, you know, hear other points of view and hopefully something resonates with you.
And, you know, something that I think a lot of people seem to forget, and this is not a shade at any person, because I'm guilty of this at times as well. But I think a lot of things that people seem to forget or tend to forget is, like, Maria and I are both in the United States of America. I know that's probably pretty obvious by our accents. But, you know, maybe you thought we were Canadian. I don't know. we're both in the USA. And with that, we are reading correspondences that originated in Europe, in Northern Europe, in most cases, the United Kingdom. And something that, let's say, made a lot of sense in Europe for calming. I don't know. I like lavender, let's say. I mean, I use lavender for calming, but let's just pretend for a minute I don't. In Europe, lavender might make a lot of sense for sleep and for calming. But I know where I live in California, there is a huge lavender farm that not Jason Segel, what's his name? The guy with the tiny ponytail who does all the action movies. Oh, the fuck is his name?
I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about, right? He's got the little ponytail. He's always like, this is the best action movie of all time. And they're always like really bad movies. Yeah. What the fuck is that guy's name? Anyway, it doesn't matter. He owns a giant lavender field by us, like massive. It's like 60 acres or something like that. Maybe more. I have no idea.
Oh my God, that sounds so nice. Oh my God.
Yeah, it also sounds like hay fever hell for me. And so in Europe, having lavender grow, you know, in your garden is maybe something that's going to induce sleep for you. But for me, I'm going to struggle to sleep because I'll be coughing and you know, having these fits. And so for me, it's more of a nightmare than a sleep aid. And that's when personal gnosis comes in. Also, my husband is in the other room and just texted me. His name is Steven Seagal. And now we can all rest easy.
That's so funny.
Yeah, he lives like 30 minutes from me and has like a massive lavender farm. And yeah, and when we drive through that in like the summertime, I'm like, give me the allergy pills or I will pass away on the spot.
Yeah. There is, I know there's one particular herb that, like, I do not agree with Scott Cunningham's thing about, which is catnip. I view catnip as, like, a way to, like, kind of to attract something.
Same. If
that makes sense. Same. And, but Scott Cunningham's thing is, like, oh God, I'm trying to remember how he viewed it. It was like love, and which I guess it could invoke love, but the way that he wrote it in his book was not about like invoking it.
I was trying to see if my Scott Cunningham book was in like arm's reach so I could just read it, but I don't see it.
Yeah, but I view it for, I add it to money spells. I add it to luck spells, but I don't use it for love personally. But you
absolutely
might.
So like I think I genuinely believe that a lot of people accidentally forget, and I do too, that mm-hmm. a lot of this correspondence of what is commonly seen as Wiccan elders, which there is a lot to learn mm-hmm. from them, so I'm not trying to shade them at all. Mm-hmm. I have a shit pot of their yeah. books. I know Maria does too.
Yeah,
is that
yes.
they are based out of Europe, and that in and of itself is going to change the meanings of things. For example,
yeah.
you know, when we look at herbs aside, we look at colors, right? The color green mm-hmm. you use for money spells a lot of the time, right? Makes sense. Mm-hmm. In the United States, our money is green. But yeah. in Australia, they have all rainbow colors. They've got yellow, they've got orange, they've got blue. You know, in I think it's India, it's red, I think. Could be wrong about that.
I'm not sure.
But, you know, our money value, our money currency, it looks different depending on where you live. And because of that, that is going to directly affect the color that would make sense for your correspondence for drawing money mm-hmm. in. And this yeah. is why it's important to use other people's correspondences, elders' correspondences, as a baseline, but then know you can mm-hmm. grow from it. And so I think this idea that, like, the Llewellyn Book of Correspondence is wrong, and people leaving negative reviews on that really actually shows their own place in their own path. And that's not a negative yeah. thing that they're at that point. But mm-hmm. it shows that they're not at a point yet where UPG is something that they've invited into their practice. And that's okay. But yeah. take that with a grain of salt.
Yes. Yes, I completely agree. I mean, the whole thing about magic is like making it your own and finding out what works for you personally. Yes, like... Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always say to try to get as many opinions as possible. So to find out what resonates with you. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with like reading, like, as you said, you know, older books and stuff like that and taking what you need in. But know that you do not have to follow that 100%. There is no book that should resonate with you 100%. I mean, there might be, but the chances of running into that book is slim to none. You're not going to agree with everything the author has to say, and that's okay. And
unless,
you don't have to force it on you.
Unless, of course, it's my book coming out in May. It will resonate with you completely. Available on Amazon worldwide, guys. Jot it down. Jot it down.
You just put an ad in our podcast. I'm just kidding.
Have you guys been interested in StubHub?
I'm just kidding.
You guys interested in StubHub? You ever heard of a little brand called HelloFresh?
Oh my God. I love that. But
anyway,
yeah, correspondences are so important for like spell work, especially personal correspondences, because it really helps you like use it to formulate your own spells. So you're not mm-hmm. having to follow author like 100%. Like, because mm-hmm. what if like you're doing a spell from a book and you're like, well, I don't really view that herb as something that corresponds well with the spell. You are entitled to change it. Like, you do not have to follow a spell book 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just
I know that that is actually like a really big fear that a lot of new witches have. That like, I know I at least get this question probably like 10 times a day on Instagram. Yeah. And it will be, oh, I don't have this. Like, will it backfire on me or will it go wrong? And it's just like, first of all,
no.
No. But even if it did, so let's pretend for a minute that it did backfire on you.
Yeah.
The odds of you, if you're still figuring out where you have to question that, and this is not, again, this is not a shade at anybody, but if you're still figuring out if you have to question that, the odds of you having put enough energy into it that the backfire is going to be something that is detrimental to you is very slim. It takes a lot of energy and practice. I mean, like I said earlier, magic is a science, in my opinion. It is a trial and error. It is why I'm constantly telling people, write your spells down and then do a follow-up on it and make adjustments and make tweaks. Like, it's not, you're not going to do it once for the first time ever and likely it be absolutely perfect. These are things that take learning. It takes adjustments. You know, my go-to prosperity spell was like a 6-month creation to make something that now I know works every single time. And it, the first time I did it, it didn't do shit. And like, and that's okay. Yeah. It's that trial and error. It's that adjustment. It's about, you know what I mean? Making tweaks.
Yeah.
And I guess the point I'm trying to make is don't give up on yourself because it doesn't work the first time. And don't be afraid to make adjustments because everyone makes adjustments. Everyone's life experience is different and unique. And therefore, what works for me will not work for you. Maybe it'll work very similarly, but you're probably going to have to make some tweaks, and that's okay.
Yeah, I feel like when we don't make those tweaks and we use a herb that doesn't like personally resonate with us, that's when spells don't end up coming to fruition. That's when they do backfire, is because you did something, like you added something that in your gut was being like, no, don't do that. And instead you ignored it and you added it anyways. But yeah, so.
Yeah, just, and like, don't, but on that note, don't be afraid to try new things.
Yes, definitely. Don't be afraid to try new things.
Don't be afraid to try new things. But because, you know, at first things might not resonate with you. Know the difference
between anxiety and intuition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At first things might not resonate with you because you've just never used it before. Give it a shot a few times. And then if it's still just not clicking, know that you can maybe leave that one to the side. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, completely agree.
It is a little bit complicated, isn't it? It's complicated and really simple all at once.
It is. It is. I find like correspondence work so much fun, and it's so interesting to me. It's
me too.
I will own all, just like tarot books, I will own all the correspondence books. I find other people's opinions and stuff so interesting. And I love learning new things. Like sometimes I'll be like, wow, I never thought of it that way before. And I'll incorporate it into my own spell work. And then I really think, you know, just being open to those opinions is incredibly important. Like, we do not have to be stuck in our ways, and we should not take other people's ways as our own all the time.
I agree.
Yeah.
Another thing to look into when looking at correspondence is looking at the land around you. Again, going back to correspondence books that are very common are all based out of Northern Europe. Well, Northern Europe doesn't have all the same herbs that we have growing here naturally in the United States, or, you know, in Russia or South America or Australia. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, Worthing, England does not have the same exact natural foliage as, you know, somewhere in like the desert of Ethiopia. Like, they, and so you're not going to see that overlap. And therefore, I suggest learning about the herbs that are in your area and learning about their medicinal properties, learning about when do they grow. You know, if it, let's say you have a flower that only blooms for a couple weeks. You know, that's a what's the word I'm looking for here? Like a spring flower. It's an annual flower. There's a lot of symbolism in that. And you can start building correspondence off of it. You know, maybe the settlers in your area used a certain leaf or whatever to cure wounds. Now all of a sudden,
yeah,
you've got a healing herb. And looking at the things that you've got in your own backyard is how you start to build your own correspondence. And this isn't to suggest anybody start appropriating Native American or Indigenous people's herbs. I'm saying looking at it from a scientific standpoint and then using that as a like a stepping stone to build your own spiritual meaning for it.
I think people would be very surprised about the own, like the herbs that do grow near where they live. Like they would discover so many like new herbs and stuff like that because, oh my gosh, I'm trying to remember the herb. We had a herb growing by our fence last year and I had never heard of it, but it has a funny name, but it deals with, I guess, people in, Italy used it for like youth spells and stuff like that. And I found that super interesting. That was like growing in my backyard and I didn't even realize it. Like it's really, yeah.
Yeah. You learn something new every day, guys. You just got to go out there and do a little research.
Yes.
I know I live in a teensy weensy tiny town, and even in my teensy weensy tiny town, there's a website dedicated to foliage in my area. So if my population 60 town has one of those, I'm sure yours does too. At the least, I'm sure your county does.
Yeah, I mean, you can look like there's tons, like for South Carolina, if you look up South Carolina, like herbal stuff, like there's tons of books. There is a ton of like books about what grows here.
I'm sorry.
Did I really say in a country accent? Because I'm going to go out and go hide in the woods for the rest of my life.
Oh, no, it's infecting me. I got myself one of them fancy websites. It's got a whole bunch of information on natural foliage. Thank you. People from the actual South listening to this, I really want to apologize for that bad accent. I'm just making fun of Maria, not you.
That is so funny.
Oh my God. Anyway, so I hope this helped you guys. And really, like I said, take things like correspondence book reviews with a grain of salt, because there's always something to learn in those, even if you don't always agree with them.
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to add your own interpretations.
It's okay.
To them.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's science. It's okay.
It's going to be okay. So, Robin, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
Thank you so much for asking.
Of course.
So, what I know earlier in this episode, I plugged my own book in a very annoying way, so I'm not trying to do that again.
Yeah, you did. I'm just kidding.
Because I'm a psychopath, I have looked at other books that are coming out at the same like time frame as my book, just to see like what's coming out at that time, my direct competition, because again, I'm a psycho. And Amazon has like this really cool little section where you can see all the books that are like available for pre-order in this category now, right? They're all so good. That's what's stirring my cauldron this week. All my direct competition is very good. There is a book coming out that I actually got to read like a little sample of called American Brujeria. And that looks, it's like the little bit I read is amazing. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to like revolutionize this conversation around Brujeria, because the internet has a lot wrong. And I think it's going to be just really great. I'm very, very excited about that.
Yeah. There's not that many books on that subject.
There's really not.
Yeah.
Nevertheless,
I remember even you asking and talking about it. Go ahead.
There is it's also like focusing on like not brujeria that comes out of Mexico per se, but like it's American brujeria, and so I think it's going to be really interesting. The little I read was really great, so I'm very excited about that. Our mutual friend Lydia of Wiccan Tips, She's got a book coming out, her second book called The Path of the Witch, and it's practices and practices and paths and rituals and all that. And that looks great. I mean, her first book was great. So excited. But what I'm most excited about is a New World Witchery. It's a trove of North American folk magic. And I am so excited to like read about and focus on like North American folk magic. Like, that's exciting. There's not a lot of books on that. Like, I don't know. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. Reading about folk magic is really interesting. And I really enjoy those books. They're usually full of such great information, especially like about herbal life in the States and stuff like that. So,
And then there was one more, which was The Witch's Cabinet, Plant Lore, Sorcery, and Folk Tradition. And I'm excited about that too, because I think that's going to be sick. I love like plant stuff. I love plant lore. I'm hoping that they have like etymology of like words and stuff like that in it. I don't know, but I'm hoping that they do, because that's exciting. But yeah, there's like a whole bunch of like really good looking books coming out. So
yeah, and it seems like non-beginner books too, which is really good, because we have a whole lot of beginner books.
We really do. And it just, I don't know, it's just exciting. And like the top selling book is, I told you about this before, Rebel Witch, Carve the Craft That's Yours Alone. It's the top selling book for pre-order. It comes out in April. I have no idea what this book is about, but the cover is beautiful. So that has to count for something.
It's going to be like a crooked path book. You know,
yeah, that's like, what you were hypothesizing when we talked about it before.
Yeah,
I think it looks really beautiful. So that counts for it something. Does. That's some you've pulled me in with some shelf draw. Yeah, I think it's really exciting.
Books by their cover. Okay.
I'm annoyed because I went on there and I was hoping that all the books that were coming out in the same time frame as mine were going to be like gross. And they're not. They all look so good. And I'm excited to buy them. So while you guys are pre-ordering my book, because you're definitely going to, go pre-order these ones too, because they look really, really good. You guys are made of money, right? Too. Just buy all the books. It's fine.
My wallet's crying. Thanks, Robin. Thanks.
My husband is shedding a single tear. Just like, no. Oh my god. No. Please, no more books. It's fine because I'm prepping to write this book number two, so I can just say it's a tax write-off. It's fine. It's research.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
So, you all are in for another Maria rant. Oh, so excited.
Strap in, kids.
Yes, strap in. It's about to get really passionate. Anyways, so I want to talk about our problem as a community when it comes to witches with disability, mental illnesses, or chronic illnesses. I think a lot of witches don't realize a lot of what we say to people who are dealing with these things can be very, like, pretty harmful and divisive. This happens even outside of the community, obviously, but it is definitely very prevalent and alive and well within ours. I find that, you know, if someone says they have something to a group of witches, you'll get so many people offering advice and holistic tips while helping out. Like, it's amazing, and support is amazing. You know, community is amazing. But we do have to be very careful when giving advice, when the advice we are giving is unsolicited, especially if it's coming from someone who is able-bodied themselves, who has no personal experience dealing with what the other person is facing. And we also have to consider that maybe the person who brought up what they're going through just wants to talk about their feelings and frustrations and aren't actually looking for advice. there is just this huge pressure for like us as witches and humans to make things better. Most of us don't like it when someone is suffering. The thing is, though, some of these things that unabled bodies people face isn't curable medically or even holistically. Mm-hmm. And I bet you that the person who is dealing with an illness has way more knowledge about their illness and their body than what you do. I also find that, like, even when advice is given and the person doesn't get better and, you know, they tried all these things and people will eventually leave, even witches. It is that whole, like, pull yourselves up by your bootstraps mentality, you know, and then eventually leaving the wounded behind. People don't seem to understand that things, some things are, like, incurable, especially when it comes to, like, chronic illness, disabilities, and even mental illness. Sure, there are treatments, but sometimes it's a treatment, you know, it's like a mm-hmm. band-aid on a larger problem that isn't going to go away. It's just constant work. So a witch who may be dealing with chronic pain every day of their life needs someone who will support them, not another person who is pushing some magical herb or spell down their throat. The same with like chronic depression and stuff like that. I'm also speaking about this from like a very personal experience because I have endometriosis, which at this moment is incurable. And the only treatments available are band-aids on the problem. Mm-hmm. I have lost friends, even witchy ones, and I deal with like family members that just don't understand how I'm not better already. I get asked right. why I don't get a particular surgery if I haven't tried this herb yet. And no matter what I try, the pain comes month after month, regardless of the surgery I've had, the pills that I take, and the herbs that like I incorporate. I can't explain everything until I'm blue in the face. But to many people, I look like someone who refuses to help themselves magically or otherwise, even though I am literally doing everything I can. I just want any witch who's facing something medically that, you know, you're not alone. And it isn't right for people to get frustrated with you for not controlling the uncontrollable. You are strong and you are resilient and you deserve a community that listens to you.
Yeah. I agree. And I don't really think that was a rant. Actually, I think that you brought up a really good point of talking that needed to be said. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that was a rant at all.
Oh,
it was well
you.
Said, Mama.
Yeah, it's just so frustrating. Because you'll get like people who will, you know, there's so many scammers too out there saying that they can cure diseases and stuff like that. And it's just so like, It doesn't work that way. I don't know. It's just really frustrating because there's no magical pill to take to make everything better. It's just constant work and hopefully, you know, eventually.
Unfortunately, there are some aspects of life.
Everything catches up.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there are some aspects of life where we have to, unfortunately, sit through it. And hope that mm-hmm. someday science will catch up to make things better. And it sucks, mm-hmm. but it is the reality. And I am sorry for everybody who is going through anything like that because that blows.
Yeah. And, you know, even, you know, we're obviously very pro-science witches. And
not me. I don't believe in science. I don't believe in it.
I mean... vaccines and stuff, you know, they're basically are like
vaccines
potions and like stuff.
You mean
people...
little mercury poison devices, Maria? That was a joke, everyone. Please don't take that seriously.
And I don't know. Holistic stuff is amazing, and obviously mm-hmm. they're like I take holistic treatments to help with my endometriosis and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and it's
so
not to be discounted.
I mean, I have endometriosis, but for my own personal struggles, I also take holistic approaches when I can.
Yeah, but you know, it's important to also listen to medical advice and take your pills if you have them, and take care of yourself. And
yep.
don't
and
feel
it doesn't
like
make you less of a witch if you need to take medication.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
I know that was a really big dialogue going around like a year or two ago. People being like, if you take mm-hmm. your antidepressants, you're like stifling your magic. Fuck those people. first of all, like,
yeah.
Fuck those people. And I like hard fuck those people. If that's what they believe, that is their personal choice. And I will defend their right to believe that. However, do not tell other people to do that. And do not put other people down, because it does not make you less of a witch. You're entitled to believe that on your own path, but do not drag other people into your bullshit.
100%.
That's on that.
100. Yep.
Anyway. Oh my God. Sorry.
Thank you for strapping in and listening to my passionateness once again.
I love it. I love it. So if you are new here, or if you just never bothered to get this far in the podcast, it's okay. No shade. We don't blame you. We're very annoying. Every single episode, we talk about shops and creators and just accounts that we're loving right now. And these are things that we found organically. Mm-hmm. These are not paid sponsorships. They will never be paid sponsorships. And so if you DM us telling us that you will pay us money to do this, we're just gonna laugh at you. And it's very rude. It's very, very rude. Don't do that.
So rude.
So rude.
We like being ad free.
Looking at you, Adam and Eve. You see that email?
You don't? No.
Yeah, they wanted us to plug their dildos. I just deleted it. I was like, shut up. Anyway,
you know, I've actually been approached by a few shops to talk about dildos, and I'm like,
love that for you. This juicy dildo here, let me tell you, I had a wild time with it. Thank you. This is me practicing
such
safe
a magical
masturbation
moment.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Okay, so on that note,
okay,
Maria.
Yes.
What creator are you loving this week?
Yeah. So I am loving Sacra Luna. They are a shop, and they're also on Instagram. Like, Sacra Luna is their name. And they sell like these sun catchers that are beautiful. They spin and they're like in gold wiring, and there's like crystals and little
they're so pretty
glass orbs. It's so beautiful, and a ton of aura quartz. So if you're into aura quartz, like, you should probably, you know, really look into that. And
they're so pretty.
It's just like so well done. Now, I do want to say, I do not know who they source their crystals from. So if you do purchase from them, please ask and check that out, because I have not bought them. I'm just enjoying like looking at them.
The pictures
they are obviously super stunning. Yes, especially they even do the little. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, they even do like little glass, like where the dried plants are trapped in glass. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's just really so pretty.
It's really
and
pretty.
They're like little moon shapes. Yeah.
I will say, though, from somebody who comes from a standpoint of having sold crystals for a while now, a lot of it does look like glass. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I'm not holding it in my hand, but it does look like angel aura, like treated and cut glass. Mm-hmm. I can't say that for certain.
Yeah, that's
I'm not holding it, but it does, at least from the photos, the quartz is so crystal clear that they use that I would struggle to accept the size of them, etc., not being glass or lab made. So, I mean, I'm not trying to back them up. I just, to me, that's what it looks like. But they are beautiful.
Yeah, whatever they are,
so beautiful.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, whatever they are, they're friggin' gorgeous.
But so yeah, I definitely recommend checking them out. Yeah, jot it down. So, what are you loving?
I am loving a shop that I've actually been loving for quite some time. It's one of those shops that like I keep meaning to bring up, and then, I don't know, shiny penny, I get distracted by something else. It is the Pandora Witch Shop. They do like woodcut or like, it's not wood, like laser engraved wood, like spirit boards, boxes, tarot card boards, just kind of you name it, altar pieces, etc. And they are so beautiful. And I know there's a lot of places out there that do wood, like laser engraving stuff. But their stuff, it's like, it's how they stain it. It's like the wood stain.
It is
that
how
they
stain
use.
It.
Yeah. It's, and the details in like staining only like a little section here and a little section there is what sets them apart from other woodcutters I have seen, at least. And
I agree.
I think it's so beautiful. It's so, so beautiful.
And they have like the dark, like, wood pieces with, like, gold on it. And we all know that's my jam. I love gold.
Yes.
It's
and they
so
have, like,
beautiful.
They have this specific box that I've been, like, desperate for, like, a year and a half.
Your boxes
and
it's one of those are beautiful.
Things, yeah, it's one of those things that I keep thinking that, like, oh, I'm going to get around to buying that. And I never do. But I want to. It's a, like, an altar box. And it has a death head moth on the back of it. And it's fucking beautiful.
So beautiful.
It's fucking beautiful. So beautiful. Yeah, I'm obsessed.
I'm actually getting a few pieces from them soon, and a couple of them are the death moth thing.
That's
so excited because they have like little tarot boards and like they have a card of the day.
That's like a newish edition, and I love it.
It's so beautiful. Yeah, I'm getting the death moth card of the day, and I cannot. Like, I'm so excited to have that on my altar space. It'll add a lot. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be so great. I want them to do me an entire, like backsplash for my altar. Not that it's not a kitchen. It doesn't need a backsplash, but you know what I mean? Like a backdrop of just like beautiful things that I can just like put behind it.
Yes. I completely
that might be it. A weird request though. Hi, I'm just wondering if you can make something pretty and large that is purely decorative. Do you think you could do that? That might be a weird conversation.
They were like, we'll do it, but you better have the money.
Yeah, that will be $700. thank you, but I am Madame Le Poor. Thank you guys for joining us today, and we hope that you'll join us on Friday, March 5th for our 5th episode in season 2. You keep an eye out on our Instagrams or on our Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Coffee Cauldrons or on Instagram at Coffee and Cauldrons Pod for more information.
Or even better, joining us on our Discord tier, which is First Coven on Patreon, so we can answer your questions on part 2 for next time.
You'll even get to hear our lovely, sensual, beautiful, perfect voices for an additional 30-minute episode for being on our Patreon casting tier and up.
So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram.
And I'm Maria from Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, one...
One, two,
three. Bye, witches!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of happy hair. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists assign a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.